Good day, everybody. My name is Chef Louis. I'm from Capsicum. And I'm going to talk you through making a minestrone today. But this is not a classic minestrone. It's a bit of a cheap minestrone. But it works. It's delicious. It's got great flavor. New and sort of, shall we call it an easy take on a minestrone? Because who has an hour or 2 hours to really start and sit down and cook a minestrone slowly because you want the flavor and so on? So basically, what a minestrone is it's a tomato-based soup with tons of flavor, and it's absolutely packed with flavor, but it all, the flavor is tomato. So out of everything that you're tasting, the main flavor that you're going to be eating is the tomato. So our focus will be on the tomato. And for this recipe, I will be using 5 medium-sized tomatoes, 2 cloves of garlic, about a 5-centimeter piece of fresh ginger, and you really want to try and get the freshest ginger you possibly can, and I'll explain to you how to get that shortly. I'm going to go again with about a 1-centimeter slice of a bird's eye chili. I'm using a half an onion, and this is a fairly large onion. I'm using 1 carrot, I'm using 2 sticks of celery, 2 potatoes, sort of medium potatoes, and a quarter of a green cabbage. So the first thing I need to do is to peel my tomatoes. The skins on a tomato doesn't add anything to my soup, it doesn't add anything to a sauce. Any product that you're going to be cooking, the tomato skin you ideally want to remove. It doesn't add any flavor, it doesn't add a very good texture, so it really, you don't want it there. Now the easiest way to peel a tomato is when you peel the tomato, the base of the tomato where it grew from the stem, that's going to be in the bottom. Hold that at the bottom of your hand, so sort of tuck it in with your ring finger. And then the top of the tomato, which is the sharp pointy bit, just cut very, very gently, just cut through the skin of the tomato. You're only scoring it, you don't want to cut into the flesh. On my stove, I have a pot of water that's just barely starting to simmer. And I'm just going to blanch these tomatoes for maybe a minute. I just want the skin to loosen. So I'm popping the tomatoes into the simmering water. I don't need boiling water. I'm not trying to cook the tomatoes at this point. I just want to loosen the skins. So while that's going, I'm going to peel my garlic. So the easiest way to peel the garlic is to remove the core or the base of it. Same as the leek, it's got a basal plate. It is a bulb family. So you need to remove the basal plate. That's the hard bit at the bottom where the roots grew. You want to cut that off, and then the skin just simply peels off. So it's very, very simple. And again, doing our mise en place, which means we're going to get all of our ingredients ready, chopped and ready to cook. I'm just going to slice the garlic as thinly as I can. And I'm using 2 cloves of garlic, so I'll slice both slices of garlic. And then just using my forefinger, just wipe down the blade of the knife to make sure that there's none of the garlic sitting on it, but careful not to cut your fingers. Then I'm just moving the garlic into a pile on my cutting board, and I'm going to use a pinch of salt, sprinkle it over the garlic, and the next technique is a fun one, if you can master it, and we're going to turn this garlic slices into a puree, into a pulp. Hold the knife against the cutting board, flat, so that the blades completely level with the cutting board on the flat edge, and then lifting it to about a 10 or 15 degree angle. You just want to lift it slightly off the cutting board, the back of the blade, so that the sharp cutting edge is still on the cutting board. And then just pressing down on the garlic slices. So it's a bit difficult at first, but you'll feel the garlic as you get to it. I'm just going to use a rocking motion with the blade or the cutting edge of my knife. Press down and then drag it over the cutting board. And I'm going to continue doing this. The salt will start absorbing the oils and the liquids, the juice from the garlic. You'll feel that when you wipe the blade. And all I'm doing is just going to go through all of the garlic. You can feel it. So just by, from time to time, use your fingers, scrape the garlic together into a neat pile again on the board, and then start again until you have a smooth paste. You don't want to feel any big chunks, so no slices. It must be completely turned into a paste. Now the abrasion of the salt against the garlic will help you to make this into a paste fairly quickly. So into a small bowl, I will just add my garlic paste into a small bowl. Now remember that you've added quite a bit of salt here to get the garlic into a paste. So we're not going to season our soup until we're ready to serve it. So once all of our veggies are cooked, that's when we'll season it, because with the garlic, we're going to add quite a bit of salt. Next up is my ginger. Now, I said I will show you or explain to you how to get the freshest ginger possible. The first clue that you have is to rub it with your fingers. If you can rub the skin off, and I don't mean in little flakes or bits, it must literally just rub off between your fingers, like almost the consistency of a potato skin, but now imagine that to be so fresh that you can just rub it off with your fingers. That's the consistency or the texture of the ginger skin that you're looking for. So I'm going to snap a piece off. Like I said, it's about a 5 centimeter finger of the ginger. Using a spoon, I'm going to just scrape the skin off. I don't need to slice it. I don't need to cut through it. I mean, if the ginger is not completely fresh, I will use a knife to peel it with. Peelers don't work because the ginger is extremely fibrous. So I do need to make sure that I don't peel it, use a peeler. Peeler won't work when peeling ginger. Also, feel the ginger. If there's any soft bits or rough bits, those are parts of the ginger that you don't want to use. They're not going to impart a very good flavor to your dish. I know I said use a 5 centimeter piece of ginger. I know it's a lot, but after you've trimmed off all of the bits that we don't want to use, you're going to end up with around a 2, maybe a 2.5 centimeter piece, which is a little bit more mild. Bearing in mind that the ginger has a very, very strong pungent flavor. It does burn. It has a bit of a hit when you eat it, but it's not like a chili. That burn goes away very, very quickly, but it does add that heat that you want to taste in the soup. So with my ginger now neatly cleaned and removed of all rough bits, that includes the top and the bottom of your ginger. You'll find that oftentimes there's dry bits where the stem has been broken while they're sitting on shelf. They dry out. Any cracks or bruises, you also want to remove those, because they could also be contaminated, seeing as this is a root vegetable. It grows in the ground. And then I'm going to slice the ginger as thinly as I possibly can, because I'm going to mince it afterwards. So what might be easy, if you have a really big chunk of ginger, cut it in half lengthwise so that you can put the flat end on the cutting board, so it's not going to roll around on your cutting board. Then slice it as thinly as you can. Now, the same method that I used to do the garlic, to make a garlic paste, I can use that to make a ginger paste. But I'm not looking for a ginger paste in this. I do want little bits that's going to provide me with a hit. Moving to my tomatoes, they've been in the water for long enough. When I remove one of the tomatoes and I just rub my finger over the skin or the surface of it, I must be able to peel off the skin easily by just using my fingers. Careful, these are hot, so we're going to dump them into a container with cold water so that they're completely submerged in ice cold water. So this is going to just refresh them and stop them from cooking and also stop my fingers from burning when I peel them. So once I've removed all of those, I'll just let them sit in that cold water for a little bit. Just so they're cool enough so that I can handle them by hand. And then just peeling away the skins using my fingertips. No need for a knife. If you need a knife, then you haven't blanched it well enough. And just put it back in the water, blanch it for a couple of seconds longer, and then try again. Once you've peeled your tomatoes, just place them one side, just place them aside. I wouldn't try to get all fancy with a soup and use heirloom tomatoes. Firstly, they're very expensive. And secondly, you're just going to boil it. No one's going to know that they're heirloom except you. So unless you're very much in the organic, be careful of what you eat thing, which is never a bad thing, any tomato will do. So my tomatoes have now been peeled. The next important step that I need to do is to core them or remove the firm bit at the end where the tomato came from the vine. And I'm just using a knife. I'm pressing the knife in right next to the core bit. And I'm just working in a circle. I'm just drawing a circle with the sharp end of my knife. And then the core will pop out. Do that with all of your tomatoes. I'm not going to chop my tomatoes just yet, because they're going to lose a lot of liquid And I essentially want all of that water in the tomatoes because that's what's going to flavor my soup. So I'm moving back now to my other ingredients on my board, my fresh ingredients. I've got my 1 centimeter slice of chili. Again, I'm just going to cut it in half. Scrape out the seeds, hold one end of it and use the edge of your knife. You can use the back of your knife if you feel more comfortable with that. And just scrape the seeds out. If you do want keep, you can obviously leave the seeds in. The chili really is optional. You can use as much or as little of the chili as you prefer. Then I'm just going to finely chop it. And it doesn't matter what it looks like because it will just impart a beautiful red color to my soup. Now, chili is very much, as I said, an optional product. You can either use a lot of it or you can use a little of it depending on your taste. If you want to add a lot, then obviously the soup will have a bit of a kick. Remember that you are adding a lot of ginger, so it will already have quite a bit of a kick to it. The next step is we need to peel our carrots. I'm just using one fairly large carrot. I would say it's about a 20-25 centimeter length, and the base of the carrot is about 3 centimeters wide. So again, this is again just sort of optional. You can decide how much of the carrot you want in. We'll start by incorporating the flavor. This is very much a, shall we call it a hearty soup. Also very much dependent on your personal taste, what flavors you prefer in the carrots or in the soup. In the soup. Okay, so for our carrot, we're going to top and tail it. So that means you're going to cut off about the first or the top 1 centimeter where the leaves grew. And you're going to top off about 0.5 centimeter at the very tip of the carrot. Next step will be to cut my carrot in half. Now, being quite a large, long carrot, I will cut it in quarters. So each half will be cut in half again through the width of the carrot. And this will just make it easier for us to cut this carrot into brunoise. So brunoise are a small dice of the carrot. And what we're doing now is we're preparing our mirepoix. Now mirepoix consists of carrot, onion and celery. And that is the base of most of our soups and sauces. So I'm cutting my carrot into 2 millimeter slices. I'm cutting off one slice of 2 millimeters. Then turning the carrot so that the flat side that I just created is lying flat on the cutting board. That'll prevent the carrot from rolling around. And then I'm going to cut through the remainder of my carrot into 2 millimeter slices. So, then each of my slices I'm now going to cut into 2 millimeter slices again, lengthwise. And now each of those little strips that I made, this is now called a julienne, by the way. So now I've cut my carrot into julienne. From my julienne, I will now cut each julienne widthways into a cube, again, 2 millimeters. So that my brunoise is a 2 millimeter by 2 millimeter cube. This is quite important, the size of your carrot, because you do need the precision in order for your soup to really look decent and, you know, well presented, like you've done some effort in it. Few things are as bad as looking at food that you can see no effort was put into, especially when you eat in a restaurant or, you know, someone invited you for a dinner but they didn't really want to cook, something like that. Okay, so just quickly chopping up all the carrots. So my carrots are cut into brunoise, which is a 2 millimeter by 2 millimeter dice. Then the next part of my mirepoix would be my leek. Now the leek, again, I've removed the roots, but I've kept the basil plate so that the basil plate will keep the layers of the leek intact. I've washed the leek, bending it so that I can get in between each of those layers. Because the way that leeks are grown, they earth up in the soil, so in between all of those layers, you often end up with quite a bit of the soil sitting there. So that being cleaned, now I'm just going to, through the width of the onion, just, or the leek, just through the width, cut into 1 to 2 millimeter slices, not too terribly important how big, but I don't want it extremely chunky. So about 2 millimeters at most, and I want to make sure that I slice each slice as uniformly as possible so that they're all roughly the same size, just so that they can cook more evenly. Alright, that's my leek done. My next one is my 2 sticks of celery, which I will just wash. Now, for this soup, I will use the leaves as well, if they're not too wilted and feel a bit offish. So, if the leaves are still very fresh and crisp, then you're welcome to use them. But be aware that the leaves can impart a slight bitterness to the soup. So, just give them a feel over. If they feel wilted or very soft, then maybe it's best just to remove them. And then, with the base of my celery, so the thickest part at the bottom, you'll feel that it's got a rough edge. This is where the roots were grown. You want to cut that off, just a 1 millimeter slice, just to remove the root bit. And then I'm going to cut the celery in half through the width of it, and then cut each section in half again lengthwise. So I can cut this into fairly small bits. I'm looking again for the same size as my carrot, which was a 2 millimeter by 2 millimeter. So I'm trying to cut my celery in the same size cubes. Just slice through those. Sits. I'm doing 2 stems of celery. I'm just cutting both of them lengthwise so that I can get a 2 millimeter. Just roughly. I mean, you don't have to go stand with a ruler measuring it for 2 millimeters. Okay. So that will be my meal part. Now I'm going to stop with my mise en place there because I do want to start getting my mirepoix on the stove to start frying. So put my pot on the stove and I'm going to put it on a medium heat. So I don't, if you're using an electrical oven, you're going to work it on, let's say, about a number 4. If the numbers go up to number 8 being your highest temperature, then you'll keep it on a number 4 or something similar like that. Just a medium heat. To my pot, I'm going to add again a tablespoon or 2 of butter. I'm going to start with a tablespoon. What's important with this is that I don't want a lot of fat. This is a very watery soup. The soup part or the liquid part of the soup is very, very liquid, very watery. So any fat that I add to it is just going to float to the top of the soup and make a layer of butter or layer of oil floating on the top of the soup, which is not really very pleasant. If you dip your spoon through it and you've got a oily coating on your lips, that's not particularly pleasant. So I don't want too much fat in this, but I do want enough fat just to sweat my mirepoix. My mirepoix, again, it is just celery, carrots, and leeks. Okay, so once my butter has started to simmer, and I just want to make sure it is completely melted, so I'm going to wait until the butter is very simmery, very bubbly. You can hear that it started to fry. That's actually just the water within the butter that's starting to evaporate and sort of escape from the fat. So I want to hear the bubbling of it. That's going to tell me when my butter is ready. Of course, you can use oil. I wouldn't use olive oil, in my opinion. Olive oil is not a very good product to cook with. It's best used as a raw oil, as it maintains most of its nutrients. Alright, so that butter is ready. You can hear it. You can smell the butter. So I'm adding my celery. And you can hear that they just have a sizzle as they touch the hot pot. Celery, my leeks going in, and then my carrots going in. And I want to sweat this, which means that I will need my cartouche. Now a cartouche is a piece of parchment paper, and the side of the parchment that will be in contact with my vegetables need to be spread very lightly with butter. This is just going to prevent the paper from absorbing any of the water or any of the liquids within my vegetables and causing them to dry out. So just a quick spread. The size of the cartouche, not terribly important, as long as it covers the entire surface of my pot, and I want to lay this directly on top of my vegetables. The aim here is to sweat my veggies. So I want to cook them very gently, but without browning them. So I don't want to create any color in the sense of browning or caramelization. Turn down the temperature to a lower heat, but still frying. So you don't want a sort of a steam heat. You want a I'll go just slightly lower than a medium. Then press the cartouche, so the paper, press it down straight on top of the surface of the vegetables. It must be touching the vegetables. And just roll the outside edges in. Now we'll let our vegetables sweat for about 2 to 4 minutes. Being careful, we have carrots, and carrots take much longer to sweat than the other vegetables, which makes it all the more important not to brown our vegetables. Most likely, our leek and the celery will be cooked before the carrots does, but that's okay because we've got a second chance to cook it when we add our liquid. Now, talking about the liquid, again, we will have one of two options. We can add a vegetable stock, or if it's not for a vegetarian, you can add a beef or even a mutton stock, just for added flavor, or of course just normal vegetable stock. And then we're going to go with plain water, so that we can control the amount of seasoning, remembering that we added all of that salt to our garlic when we crushed our garlic into a paste. So the next step that I'm going to do is continue to prepare the rest of my vegetables. And just to recap, in my pot, I have sweating at the moment. I've got carrots, which is cut into a brunoise, which is 2 mm by 2 mm cubes. I have celery cut in the same size, and also leeks, which is cut into 2 mm slices. These slices are called vichy. So I've cut my leeks into vichy, I've cut my celery and my carrots into brunoise. Those are sweating in about a tablespoon of butter with a cartouche on the top. Then I have already finely chopped my ginger. I have made a paste out of 2 garlic cloves, and I've got 5 tomatoes which have been peeled and cored already. I haven't cut them yet because I don't want them to lose too much of their moisture. Then my last step, or second last step, is to shred my cabbage. This is called chiffonade, which technically means angel hair. And that means that you need to cut your cabbage as fine as you possibly can. The thinner you can cut your cabbage, the better. And it helps when you rotate the cabbage, so that you constantly get the sharp edge of the cabbage, and that's where you then make your cuts. So it's easier to make a cut on a sharp edge of the cabbage. So as you cut it, it forms like a corner. Keep cutting that corner, and that's what's going to make it life a lot easier for you to slice it. So I've got 1/4 of a cabbage. I'm going to put that one side ready for the pot. And then I have 2 medium potatoes. And these potatoes, I'm just going to peel them using a peeler or a knife, whatever you're comfortable with. And then each potato I'm going to cut into dice or into cubes. But my cubes are going to be about 1 centimeter. I want a fairly large cube here because I still want to maintain the texture. I'm not going to boil this until the potato is gone. Technically, each one of my veggies need to be visible in the soup when I serve it. So I'm cutting my potato into 1 centimeter slices, and then each 1 centimeter slice I cut into another 1 centimeter width, and then I cube it again into 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter cubes. I will continue doing this with both of the potatoes. And then as I cut the potato into their cubes, I'm placing them in cold water, and this is just to prevent them from oxidizing or turning brown. And then I'll put that aside and then check on my mirepoix that's in the pot, busy sweating. Now I'm sweating the vegetables, my mirepoix, the carrots, the celery and the leeks. Just sweating them, and they're just about ready. Now you don't expect to hear any sizzling or bubbling, because this is a very gentle cooking. What I am looking for is the texture of the leek. That's what's going to give it away. That's what's going to tell me when it's ready. So pick up a spoonful of your mirepoix. You can feel the roughness of a celery. If you press the celery, you'll feel that it's soft, squishy, but not mashable, if that's even a term. I won't be able to make mash with this, but it's soft enough that I can press it between my fingers. Don't bother with the carrots, they're the hardest bits that you're going to feel. And then you've got the very thin little strips, which are the leeks. And when they're very soft between your fingers, then you know that your mirepoix is ready and ready to move on. So with my mirepoix ready and out of the way, my next step now is to add my ginger and my garlic. Now the garlic I've made into a paste. My ginger I have cut in just rough dice, so I didn't really you just mince the ginger. So they're just fairly coarsely minced. So added the garlic, add the ginger, stir those in. Again, I'm still on a low heat. I don't want to increase the heat just yet. I don't want to color or brown my vegetables. I'm also adding my finely sliced or finely chopped 1 centimeter chili. Give that a couple of stirs. Let that go for another minute or so. The idea is just to incorporate the garlic and the ginger and the chili. The flavors, just incorporate those around your vegetables. So let those simmer. While that's simmering, so while my vegetables are sweating away there, bearing in mind they're almost ready, I'm now going to chop my tomatoes. Now the tomatoes are already peeled. Just cutting them in half lengthways, and then cutting them in quarters lengthways. The cut of the tomatoes are not terribly important because they will completely disintegrate by the time the soup is ready. But I'm just slicing them in about 1 centimeter slices. So each quarter is just being sliced in a 1 centimeter slice. So I do want to work fairly quickly because as I cut these tomatoes, they start losing the moisture. So the water within the tomato starts spreading all over the cutting board, and firstly it creates a mess, and secondly I'm losing valuable flavor. I know you meant to, or at least people always say you need to peel and then de-seed the tomato. Fine, I get that. However, there's so much flavor that you're just throwing away. So we're going to incorporate all of those flavors. If you really want to, then you're welcome to de-seed the tomato, but it really is not necessary for this soup. And then I'm adding my sliced tomatoes to the pot. And I can do this by just picking it up by hand, putting it into my pot, and then taking my cutting board over to my pot, and with the back of the knife, placing the cutting board on the pot, with the back of a knife, I'm just going to scrape whatever juices is sitting on my cutting board into my pot. Okay, tomatoes added. I'm going to give those a good stir. Now, I haven't added any liquid yet, in the sense of stock or any water, because what I want to achieve now is to fry off my ingredients and get the tomatoes to expel as much of the liquid as possible, so that it's not too watery. What I'm after is the oils within the tomato. That's what's going to create all of my rich flavors. So I'm going to turn up my heat now and let those tomatoes start frying. Again, I do need to be careful. I don't want this to color. I don't want any browning on it. So you will smell a lot of ginger and garlic at this point. That will dissipate as the dish progresses. Turn a bit more tomato-y. But the whole idea of this soup is that it must be very fragrant. You are looking for the herbs and the spices that you've added in the form of the ginger, the garlic, the chili. You do want to smell those. The butter is going to give you a very rich, nutty fragrance. That's part of what we're smelling at the moment, combined with the ginger and the garlic. So I'm just stirring this around from time to time. I don't have to stir this constantly. And the aim is to just let the liquid continuously mix with the vegetables so that it evaporates quicker. Once I can hear my soup starting to sizzle again, like frying, you know, the sound of something frying in oil. Once I can hear my soup starting to fry, that's when I'm going to add my last ingredients, which is my cabbage and my potatoes. And then I top it up with my stock, beef stock, mutton stock, vegetable stock, water, whatever you fancy. And then I'm going to bring this to a boil. And essentially, I just want to boil this until my potatoes are soft. One ingredient that is very much essential to this soup is fresh oregano. So fresh oregano, it's a very special herb in the sense that you really release a lot more flavor with long cooking. When you just add the oregano right at the end, you don't get any flavors that is imparted. Oregano only releases its flavor with high temperatures and long cooking process. The same goes for thyme. So those are herbs that you want to cook for a long period of time, but we'll add those with the potatoes. And then, of course, lots and lots of freshly ground black pepper. So when I stir the soup around, I can hear that it's starting to sizzle, which means that it's now ready for my final ingredients, which is the cabbage and the potatoes. So get your cabbage, which is finely shredded. Add that. I'll add my oregano. And then also my potatoes. Now I don't want the water that the potatoes are sitting in. So I'll just strain the potatoes. And then add my potatoes straight into the pot. Now, I suppose yield-wise, this is roughly about 2.5 cups of potato. So potatoes are added. Give it a stir. You can hear that there's very little liquid there, which is what I'm aiming for. That just means that the tomato flavor is really, really concentrated now, which is what I was aiming for, is what I want. If you do want to make this a lot more tomatoey, you're welcome to use about a tablespoon of tomato paste. You will add that with your mirepoix in the beginning of the cooking process. Okay, now our potatoes are nicely mixed in. And to that I'm going to add 500 mils of stock. Again, I'm starting with a cold stock so that I can bring the potatoes up to an even boil. Stir those in. I haven't seasoned any of this yet because I've got the salt in the garlic paste that I've made, and also I have the salt in the stock. Give that a stir and then turn down the temperature. And what I'm looking for is a medium-high temperature. I mean, I don't want to watch paint dry. I'm just wanting this to boil, or rather a gentle simmer. So nothing rapidly boiling, just gently simmering away. And that's going to cook for about 1 hour. The soup has just been cooking now for about 1 hour. The potatoes are just starting to soften up. One way for me to check is to just stir my wooden spoon through the pot. Now remember that I've been stirring this on a relatively regular basis, just to make sure nothing catches at the bottom, making sure that I still have enough liquid. Again, just dab your veggies on top. If they bob to the bottom of the liquid, you know there's enough liquid in there. And then just pick up a spoonful, and now using your fingers very carefully so you don't burn, feel each of the ingredients. You'll feel the potatoes, they're starting to go quite soft, but you do want to be careful because being so soft, they'll squash easily, and that squash potato can get stuck to your fingers, and that'll really, really burn. So just press gently. Or you can even just take a spoon and push it against the side of the pot. If you can feel the potatoes being squashed, then you know they're ready. So I can feel the foam on the top of my soup developing after it's just been boiling or barely coming to a boil. Using the back of a plastic spoon, I can feel the foam. I need to skim the foam off purely because it will make my soup cloudy. It will make an ugly color. It's not necessarily going to be very pleasant looking. That foam that you see or feel developing on top of the pot is all impurities. Those are all the little nasty bits that you don't really want to particularly eat. So we do want to make sure that we strain those off. Just skim it off very gently and discard it. You're not going to use it. So give that a quick taste. So I need to season my soup now, and I'm going to add sugar. I can add either sugar, I can add honey, I can use maple syrup, any sugar of any form. And I do want to counterbalance the acidity, so I do need something sweet, so I can use fructose as well. And the trick is, add a little until you are happy with what it tastes like. So I'm adding 2 pinches of sugar. I'm going to add about 1/4 teaspoon of salt. And then a good big pinch of freshly ground black pepper. And again, I need to make sure that I add my seasoning while my liquid is boiling, because this will ensure that I don't disrupt the seasoning when it's cold. Or if I'm serving this hot, then I want to season it when it's hot. So just give that a mix in, let it come back up to a boil, and then we're going to taste the soup again. And so we're going to continue until we're happy and satisfied with the flavor of the soup. I'm adding a little bit more sugar, because it's definitely too tart still. So I'm adding another good 2 pinches of sugar. And I'm adding another 1/4 teaspoon of salt. I've got enough pepper in there, it's getting nice and peppery. If you do like a very peppery soup, feel free to add some more pepper. Give it a stir again. just to get those flavorings incorporated. All right, stirred in my seasonings, and I'll just give this one more taste, and I'm fairly certain this will be ready now. So I've got a real hit of ginger, which I do find quite pleasant. The cabbage has just started to go, I don't know, it's still crunchy, but it's soft, it's cooked completely, but it still has nice texture in it. You can really taste that ginger again. The oregano has lent a nice, rich, earthy flavor to the soup. I need to add the pasta. So I have options with the pasta. I can use spaghetti, I can use fettuccine, I can use penne pasta. Options are endless. I can choose whichever pasta I would like. I suppose it comes down to what the look of the pasta is. How do you want it to look? What do you want it to feel like when you eat it? Remember that it's a very liquid, very runny base. So the pasta does play quite a big role in terms of texture. So I'm just using some spaghetti, and I'm just going to break my spaghetti in half, and then each half lot in half again. And I'm going to add that, and I'm going to bring that to the boil with all of my ingredients, and then let that cook until it is done.